Just get the liturgy now. We'll come. All you'll just watch on the screen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray for grace that we might be faithful to this period of preparation. And together we pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that we, lamenting our sins and acknowledging our brokenness, may obtain of you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. I'll invite our readers to come.
With fasting, with weeping, with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord, your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord remembers that we are but dust.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
The Lord remembers that we are but dust.
The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalries, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
The Lord remembers that we are but dust.
Some of you know me and some of you don't. My name is Chad. I'm the pastor at Via Vancouver and at Church of the Ascension. And my year, this year since Ash Wednesday last year, has been something else. It's been in many ways a very good year, but it's been in a lot of ways a very difficult year. About almost exactly a year ago, it's been a year and a week, my father suddenly passed away. One minute, my dad, who was a pastor in Calgary, was with us, and the next, he was not. And it was an alarming thing. It wasn't something that anyone could have seen coming. It happened very suddenly, very quickly. I was getting ready, actually, at Church of the Ascension to go out and preside over a service when my wife came into the back room to let me know that we needed to rush to Calgary. My dad had had a stroke, and he probably wasn't going to make it. Throughout the rest of this year, I and many of our community, especially at Church of the Ascension, have experienced loss after loss. I did 3 funerals in the last 3 months. About 6 months after my father passed away, another pastor in their church was diagnosed with terminal cancer and passed away. Just this week, I got the news that my uncle, my mom's brother, went into hospice with cancer and will probably pass away inside of 2 weeks to 2 months. Many of you have had loss in your life too. You've lost loved ones. Many of you here today have shared with me in the sorrows and the journey of losing some that I've mentioned already today. And I found myself this year standing by gravesides more than I wanted to. But at many of those gravesides, my father's included, I heard these words: earth to earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. And together as the people of God, we committed brothers and sisters back to the dust from which they came. I found myself later in this year standing beside gravesides with families, and as a priest declaring those same words with my own mouth: earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And so it goes without saying that throughout this year, I and many of you have come face to face with a very inescapable reality. This life is temporal. It comes to an end, sometimes without any warning. That the flesh that we are in now, the bodies that we are in now, they are temporal. I've experienced that as we have ultimately lost people this year, but I also experience that on a daily basis when this 42-year-old body won't do what the 22-year-old body used to do. And some of you look at me and you say, oh, young man, you have no idea. Right? It's kind of fun for me because when I hang out with Via Vancouver, I'm one of the old guys. And when I hang out at Church of the Ascension, they all laugh their heads off when I even hint at the fact that I'm getting there. But the reality of it is our bodies begin to fail, don't they? We all feel that. These bodies, they are limited. They are temporal. And all of these things, all of this journey, it speaks to us of a reality that we are mortal beings. That life is not, this life is not guaranteed. The reality of it is most of us live and today are tempted to live, and the world around us tries to live ignoring that fact at all costs. You would actually begin to believe watching TV that if you just bought the right products and ate the right foods that this reality would somehow escape you. To live as long as possible, if not forever, it seems to be the grand goal, and yet a really kind of vain task. Billy Graham, I remember, is one of the men that always, it strings in my head. I read a book on death by Death and Dying by Billy Graham years ago, in which he starts the book by saying, 100% of people die. And it's a resting stat, because as far as stats go, some of them can be cooked and some of them can be a little tricky, but that one's pretty spot on. In many of these seasons, and as I've walked these journeys, and tonight again, and this week as I was preparing for tonight, I find myself spending a lot of time in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we won't spend a lot of time in the whole of it today, but I do want to read three verses for you, starting in verse 47, where it says, "The first man was from the earth, a man of dust," to which Paul is referring to Adam. "The second man is from heaven," to which Paul is referring to Christ. "As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven." Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent, very rightly and I think very importantly for us as the people of God, confront us with our mortality. When we take time like this in a service like this, it is right and I think helpful and important to be reminded that I won't live this life forever. That this is temporal. As was the man of dust, so also are the people of dust, those who are from the dust, you and I. And just as Adam died, so too will you and I. And as we recognize that, and as we stand in that and recognize our mortality, we are brought into, very naturally, a season of heart searching. Maybe you've experienced this around a personal loss yourself, or you've seen it in amongst people at a funeral. Often in those spaces, when confronted with our mortality, we begin to ask questions we don't ask every day. We begin to think about, in the face of death and the reality of it, how I'm living. We begin to consider the afterlife. We begin to consider what happens after death. We begin to ask bigger questions and to consider, in this temporal, mortal space, what happens in the immortal space. To remember death brings us face to face with many of these questions, and rightly so. In this heart searching, this season of Ash Wednesday and Lent, it leads us into a season of what the church referred to as penitence, a season of repentance, a season where, considering our lives, we begin to recognize that we actually don't always live the way we should. And we begin to, in light of our mortality, and before a God who is not mortal, consider what maybe we should be trying to get right. It would be right in a season of Lent to seriously be confronted with a broken relationship and a desire to see forgiveness and reconciliation come in that relationship. Because suddenly we realize, you know, life's too short. It's right for us to want to make our peace, to get right with God, to live in right relationship with Him. And so Lent is very rightly a season of heart searching and penitence. But let me encourage you in this as you head into Lent. I think it's very important, when we enter into seasons and moments of repentance and penitence, to remember this important fact. When it comes to heart searching, it's God who does the searching. It's not a season for us really to do our own searching. It's not about us suddenly getting serious and trying to, you know, kind of work out the checks and balances and fill out the gold stars chart. This is not what the season of Lent is about. And when it becomes that, it becomes very heavy, very defeating, very fast. But instead, it's a season to pray, like the psalmist prayed at the end of Psalm 51, "Lord, search my heart." It's a season where, as mortal people, we stand before an immortal God. We recognize the frailty of our life in contrast to the eternal nature of His. The weakness and frailty of our lives in contrast to the power, the greatness, the unshakable nature of His. And in that space, as men and women, we begin to ask God, "Would you search my heart? Let me know. Show me, God, is there any wrong way in me?" It's a season of repentance and penitence, and so, because we are the people of God and God is involved in the searching, it too is a season of transformation. When the people of God will become honest with their God and confess to Him their sins and lay before them in an honest way their lives, He will come in power and they will never be the same. John reminds us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Faithful. He will every time. And He is just in that on the cross He paid the price to have the right and the ability. He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To meet us in a place of penitence, to come in repentance to God, should actually, when we catch it and really understand it, get us very excited. Don't know about you, but I spent a lot of years just not wanting to go to repentance. It felt like doomsday. It was because I didn't understand repentance. I thought repentance was this process of going, confessing my sins, and then getting knocked on the block by a giant hammer. But it isn't. It's about coming confidently before a throne of grace and receiving what I don't deserve, because God is powerful, but he is too merciful. Because God is just, but he is too all-loving. And so to come before God and to be transformed, so it's a season of repentance, and because it's a season of repentance, before the God that we serve, it is a season of transformation. And so through that season of transformation, we are being made new. We are actually being made more like Jesus. And we are in that way being prepared to enter in a deeper way into the good news of the gospel. All of this penitence, all of this transformation, all of things in Lent that typically we would enter into as a people of God, fasting, scripture reading, contemplation, confession, all of these disciplines, all of this preparation is done, and we must remember this, in the presence of God. That yes, we are but dust, and to dust we return, but we are in the presence of and loved by God. Just a man. But God loves me. Just a man made so much more than that. Not because of anything I've done or anything that I am, but because of who he is and what he's done and is doing in my life. And so Lent is a season to confront, that's meant to confront us with our mortality. And in turn, it's a season designed to point us towards the hope that we have in Jesus. It's not meant to confront us with our mortality and leave us there, to confront us with the failings of our bodies or the limits of them and have us somehow begin to loathe our bodies or to be very down on ourselves, but instead to allow us to connect well with the need that we have for God, the need we have for a Savior, and at the same time to point us towards that Savior and to point us towards him in an honest way. It's a season meant to point us towards Jesus, towards the second man. The first man, Paul said, was from earth, a man of dust, but the second man, a man of heaven. The one who came that we might have life, who himself took on this mortal flesh and dwelt among us, who lived a human life, and who died a human death. But who lived a full, complete, perfect human life, and so dying defeated death and rose again over it in resurrection power. Lent is meant to confront us with our mortality and to point us towards the one who himself is and holds the power of resurrection life. And so right in the place where we come face to face with our dying, we also come face to face with the one who gives the gift of eternal life. Wow. In Lent, we do this in many ways, but one of the ways is fasting. Throughout Lent and through that season, very many of us will choose to fast, to deny ourselves the bread of this earth. And one of the other things that we do traditionally is we feast on the Word of God. We remember the words of Jesus as we head into this season when he reminded us in the face of his temptations, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. and through our fasting, we deny the body the bread of this earth, and we feast on the bread of life. We deny ourselves the bread that feeds this life, and we feast on the bread of eternal life. The one who gives life today, yes, but forever. And whose life is life to the full. And whose life is resurrection life, is eternal life, all things that this life is not. This is the good news of the gospel. And through Lent, the prayer of our hearts is, God, would you bring me deeply into connection with these truths and prepare me to receive you in your fullness, to be received by you in fuller ways. And so my invitation to you tonight, as we turn our attention back to the liturgy, is to come after some prayers of confession. We will move slowly through them so that you can take them in and make your confession before God. And then, having confessed your sins, Prince and I will invite you to come forward and we will mark your foreheads with ash. And as we do, we'll declare these simple words, but potent ones. From dust you came, and to dust you will return. And by the Spirit, I pray that you would be brought into a recognition, a deep one, of your mortality, and at the same time pointed towards Christ. And so we'll make this, we won't just smudge your forehead. We'll make on your head the sign of the cross. And we'll let God do the rest. And so as you come for the imposition of ashes, I encourage you, first of all, to consider Jesus. As you come, fix your eyes on Jesus, the bread of life. Fix your eyes on the forever, the immortal, the eternal. And present yourself to him as a man, as a woman, created by God, but now in this temporary body, now in this mortal place, from dust and returning to dust. So come as a man, come as a woman, and present yourself to an almighty God. And there in that space, invite him to prepare and lead you towards Easter. To prepare and to lead you into resurrection life. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, Paul says, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Dear friends in Christ, Jeff, I'll have you guys come and be ready. Every year at this time of the Christian Passover, we celebrate our redemption through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lent is a time to prepare for this celebration. And we begin this holy season by remembering our need for repentance and for the mercy and the forgiveness proclaimed in the good news of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? We'll begin our confession. We'll begin to bring our hearts to God as Jeff leads us in a song of worship.
Create in me a clean heart. within me, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Sing, create in me a clean heart again.
A clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Let us now call to mind our sin and the infinite mercy of God. God the Father, there it is. God the Father,
have mercy on us.
God the Son,
have mercy on us.
And God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others and as we have been forgiven.
Lord, have mercy.
We have been deaf to your call to serve as selflessly as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit.
Lord, have mercy.
We confess to you, Lord, all our past unfaithfulness, the pride, hypocrisy, and guardedness of our lives.
Lord, have mercy.
Our self-indulgent appetites and ways, and our subtle taking advantage of other people.
Lord, have mercy.
Our anger, our frustration, and our wrongful expectations that we've placed on others.
Lord, have mercy.
Our acting out of fear and self-preservation and believing the worst rather than the best. Our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to commend the faith that is in us. Accept our repentance, Lord, for the wrongs that we have done, for our failure to sympathize and our inability to listen.
Accept our repentance, Lord.
For all false judgments, for unloving thoughts and acts, and for our inability to resolve our differences.
Accept our repentance, Lord.
For our poor stewardship of your world and our lack of concern for those with so little.
Accept our repentance, Lord.
Restore us, good Lord, where we have departed from your will. Accomplish in us the work of salvation,
that we may show your glory in the world.
And by the cross and passion of your Son, our Lord,
bring us with all your saints to the joy of his resurrection.
Dear friends in Christ, I invite you to come forward to receive ashes as a sign of the spirit of penitence with which we will keep this season of Lent. Prince and I will mark each other first, and then one of us will be this side of the table, the other here, and you can just come forward and file through. We pray, God our Father, from the dust of the earth you have created us, grant that these ashes may be for us a sign of penitence and a symbol of our mortality, and a reminder that only by your gracious gift are we given eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Prince, from dust you came, and to dust you shall return.
Chad, from dust you came, and to dust you shall return.
Having confessed your sins and received the sign of the cross in ash, I invite you to stand and receive the forgiveness of your sins. May the Lord God grant you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace of his Holy Spirit. Continue to give thanks as Jeff leads us.
To the cross I look, to the cross I cling, its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showed that God is love and God is just. The cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love, I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. The cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I so lost in love, I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. Oh, thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, sweetly broken, wholly surrendered.
Be seated. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who is sent by you to be our Savior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh. He lived on earth and went about among us. He put an end to death by dying for us, and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. And so he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. On the night that he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. When he had given thanks to you, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." And therefore, Father, we present to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray, gracious God, would you send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Bow my knee, Lord, in adoration. We break this bread. For we, being many, are one body.
We all share in one bread.
Amen. Jeff's going to lead us in a prayer just to prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table. While he does that, the clergy, we're going to serve each other. And after we've finished singing this prayer together, we'll invite you to come to the Lord's table. We're going to do it a little bit different for those of you who are from PCC. We're going to invite you to come, and as you come for communion, we're going to line up across the front of the sanctuary, and so you'll just come and kind of take your spots. I think we might, if we get cozy, all fit at once. That's the goal. And so we're going to line up right across the front, and if you would just stand ready with your hands, Prince will come, and he will give you the bread, and then Richard's going to come behind Prince, and he will serve you the wine. You have a couple of options today. Whatever you're most comfortable with. You can drink directly from the chalice, or if you would like, if you'd prefer, you can in tank. So you can take the bread, dip it in the wine, and then take it that way. Father Ken and I are going to come in behind Prince and Richard, and if you remain and would like a blessing today at the end of our service, Ken and I will come in behind the communion elements, and we'd love to just bless you with a short prayer. And then we'll conclude our service after that. So go after you've finished receiving, in no hurry, you can make your way back to your seat. And then when we've all received, we'll finish our service together.
We do not presume to come to this your table. Trusting in our own righteousness, we do not presume to come to this your table. Merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your great mercies, through your one and only Son, you made us worthy to receive your gifts. But in your great mercies,
body and our souls washed through His most precious blood, that our sinful bodies may be cleaned by His body and our souls washed through His most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in Him, that we may evermore dwell in Him, that we may evermore dwell in Him, and He in us, and He. Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Your grace is more, where grace is found, is where you are, where you are, Lord. I am free, holiness is Christ in me.
Stand when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you, Jesus. I need you. How I need you more than before, Lord. More than ever before. Drawing close to you, Lord, for your mercies never fail me. No, 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 your mercies never fail me. No, 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 your mercy never fails me. No, no. Precious blood.
Super easy. Thank you. called Goodness of God. Should be near the end of the slides there, Bogdan.
The goodness is running out, it's running after me. With my life laid down, surrender now, give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after, you pursue me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, surrender now, give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
For today, I was reminded of these simple words of John the Baptist. Lord, I must decrease, you must increase. I pray that through this Lenten season, in a very healthy and right way, you would decrease and that Christ would increase in your life. Would you stand, pray a benediction, a blessing over you as we conclude our service? At the conclusion of our service, we just welcome you to rest. Jeff will just continue to lead in worship. We're not in a hurry to go. But as after this blessing, as you're ready and able to go, we bless you to go. Christ give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.